Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a New Day radio show where the dialogue is authentic, host is passionate, and we help you to become empowered, inspired, resilient, and transformed. Yes, our focus is to change our world by transforming one business and one life at a time. Now, here is your host, author, columnist, reinvention coach, entrepreneur, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson.
Good morning and happy Wednesday to each and every one of you. I know those of us here in the Northeast, we have been having some very cold days, but this is the morning when we are here to just warm you up with all the information that you can get. And as always, I'm super excited about the episodes today. An amazing thing is happening because I have two on. One is Susan, one is Susan. And what amazing conversation it's going to be today. So hang tight, get your beverage of choice, which I hope is either hot green tea or pure water with lemon or cinnamon stick, and just hang with us. Tweet, call, and text all your friends, and I'm to join the conversation this morning. So before I bring my first honored guest on, I want to do a bit of housekeeping, starting with our theme song.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a friend. I want to be more than someone special, 'cause special friends sometimes they won't understand.
Well, you know, as always, I have two special days of the week, and I want to say, when I get to spend quality time with people all around the world, making my effort to make a difference in their lives, and I've always asked that we connect with the right people that have a story to tell. And I am just so excited about the episode this morning and the two guests. One guest is out of New York and the other out of Texas. And it's just, social media is just a wonderful thing. And with that being said, I want to remind you to please connect with me on Twitter at Dynamic Daphne, on Facebook at Dynamic Daphne as well. On LinkedIn, I want for you to join me at Daphne Clark Hudson. And please check out my new written blog at daphneon.wordpress.com. Check my blog out there and share it with others. Also, for the Empowering People Foundation, which is the nonprofit I founded, to feed the students at Carmel Elementary School in Westmoreland, Jamaica. That's my former elementary school. And it was brought to my attention that the students are coming to school without breakfast. They are coming to school hungry. And yet, I was part of that system too. But what made it different for me was that my parents were farmers. And whatever was prepared the night before for dinner, something would be saved for breakfast the next morning. And I want to let you all know, we didn't have electricity, we didn't have refrigerator and all of that. We didn't have microwave. But my parents would be up at dawn, and they would make sure the wood was burned so that they could have the coal, the charcoal, that they would use to toast whatever it is left over from the night before to provide breakfast so that I would not go to school hungry. And my father would juice sugar cane from a wooden mill. And my mother, or they would put a mint in it to change the flavor of the sugar cane, and that was the tea. There were other times when I was privileged to be able to get hot milk because my father would have a cow that was being milked or a goat that was being milked. However, fast forward to now, the younger parents and families aren't interested in farming because they have evolved. They now have electricity, they have cell phone, they have television, they have the work. And the last thing they are looking to do is to till the soil, to make provision, and to provide for their children go to school. So they are doing their best to get the material things. However, the basic meal of the day is breakfast, and the children are going to school without that. So I was visiting the school. It was not part of my agenda to go there. I went there by accident. I asked the principal how things was going at the school, and she said, "Miss Sweetie, it's one problem." And I thought she was going to mention the problem of drugs. However, she said, "The children are coming to school without breakfast." And the minute she said that to me, I heard a voice on the inside of me said, "This is the reason I send you here today." So with tears running down my face, and my being wanting to be obedient to this call, I said to her, "I don't know how I'm going to be doing it, but I'm making a commitment to make sure that these children get a hot breakfast 5 days a week." So with that, I came back home to the United States and founded the Empowering People Foundation, Inc., which is the nonprofit that we are using to raise the funds to do breakfast for the children, to build them a cafeteria, and also to start an empowering program for the parents who will be growing the crops that will supply the canteen with the food instead of the cook having to go to the market once a week. Every 2 days, they will be able to supply fresh produce to the kitchen. So with that being said, I am looking for your support, and you can donate whatever you can by visiting gofundme.com/numeral and you can donate there. And for those of you who want to support us on the cruise going to Europe June the 14th, through the 22nd on the Norwegian Epic, you may call the cruise consultant who is putting this all together for us. You may call Tot or Linda Begg. Her telephone numbers are 203-539-0094 or 203-818-3100. 1-800-273-8074. Please support us on this well-needed project. It's not a huge school. It's only 100 students. However, for every child that we help to be able to learn, we are paying it forward. So I'm reaching out to you. I know I have many people said they want to go down to work on the ground. However, we need some money in order to start that. So I am reaching out to you to help us. So without any further delay, I want to bring on live my honored guest out of, I think she's from Austin, Texas, and it's none other than Susan Mullins. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right, but I'm sure she lovingly correct me if I did not. Good morning, Susan, and thank you so much for your patience.
Good morning, Daphne. It's Susan Tolles, but I answer to anything, so not a problem. Well, and you know what? I just want to let you know that you're really breaking up, and I don't know, you know, I'm having a hard time following you, so
okay.
We may have
is
a little bit of an issue here.
Is that better?
It's just kind of, you know, it's very choppy. So I don't know if that's your Skype connection or what's going on
I think it's the Skype because I was having issues getting
okay,
on this morning.
Okay, good. How is it? You may have to repeat yourself because if I don't get the whole question, we'll just have to repeat.
Fine.
So no problem.
That's fine.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
Yes.
I'm ready to go. I'm so thrilled to be here with you.
All right. Thank you for coming. Would you do the pronunciation of your name? Is it M-O-L-E-S?
It's T like Tom, Tolles like Tolles House Cookies. It's like the cookies.
So I need to go in and correct it because on my thing I have M-O-L-E-S. So please.
Thankfully, it's not mold.
Okay.
It's Tolles like the, I say it's like the Tolles House chocolate chip cookies
chocolate
that we used to make. So.
Okay, so I'll go back in and correct that. So,
okay, no problem.
Well, welcome and thank you for coming on this morning. I know you have a client coming up, so we are going to make sure to get the best of
I'm so excited to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your story and why, after you introduce us to who you are, why do you think that we need to put a special effort to flourish after 50?
Oh, wonderful.
But tell us who you are.
Okay, I'd love to share my story. So in a nutshell, I'll try to be brief, but I was in my, I call it my previous life, when I was young and had no children, I had a career in finance, the financial world, and when my first daughter was born, we made the decision that I would stay home and raise our children. So I stayed home as a primary mom, that was my primary role for 24 years. Did a lot of work in the community and, you know, just was really immersed in their schools and doing a lot of good things. But when my youngest went away to college, it hit me all of a sudden that I had a lot of years left in me and I was no longer needed as a mom. So that really hit me hard. And also at the same time, my mother passed away within 3 months of my son graduating from high school. And I had been helping take care of her while she was in failing health. And so I really didn't have a purpose anymore. And just really began searching for something. And after really getting out of my comfort zone, doing some things, pushing myself to get out and meet some people, I decided that instead of going to work for someone again, I would do something for me so I could be my own boss. And I had never done that before, but it sounded exciting to me. So I created a website for women over 50, and so almost 4 years ago, in February of 2010, I launched the website, and it has been an amazing ride ever since. The website itself has connected me with women from around the world. As you know, you have that blessing through the Internet. And I've also become a life coach and professional speaker and author as a result. So it has opened up a world to me that I never would have dreamed that I would be in. And it's just really made me stretch and grow and become a better person. And I really do. I'm 57, and I feel like I have so many years left ahead of me to still make a difference in the world. And there's no reason to slow down, you know, once you hit 50. It's more important than ever to use the wisdom that you have gained, you know, over your years to impart that to really make your mark on the world.
You know, I have to let the listeners know I have not been acquainted with Susan for a long time, as a matter of fact, less than a week. But I was particularly resonated with her message, because this is a time, and this is such a timely message, when there are a lot of empty nesters who tend to fall into depression because they really were not prepared for this time of their lives. And they look and they throw their arms up in the air and they're saying, oh, my God, what am I going to do now?
What am I going to do now? And way too many of them cling to their children once their children gone to college, you know, and they can't let go. And the poor children can't grow up because their mothers won't let them, you know, go. And so, you know, it's just that we need to have a purpose. Everyone has purpose. And if you don't have purpose, you do sink into depression.
I want to interject here, Susan. There is someone I know, and she's going to be mad with me if she's listening and hear me mention it, but I must. I have a friend who held on so tight until when her last child went away to college. The child made the decision to go many states away from her.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you never guess what she did. She
did
bought...
She move?
The family did not physically move. She bought a small house in the city where the child was going to school, so that the child could live with her.
Oh no!
And go to campus. Trust me. And when I was present, I said, "No, I cannot believe you did that." And it's been a battle for her, and I tell her, you got to let go.
Right,
you got to
right.
let go. And the amazing thing is that she has known me for many years, and she is so reluctant in starting something herself. She's extremely interested, and when we try to work on this business, my parents, and I think it's mainly the mothers, we really have you in letting go of our children. So I applaud you for the work that you're doing to change that.
Well, thank you. Yes, and it's hard, you know, for us to do that, but we have to realize that, you know, our responsibility is raising, you know, young adults, you know, our children. And then once they become the young adults that they're supposed to be, then they need to be released, and you know, they need to experience the world and make mistakes, because if you don't make mistakes, you don't grow, and you don't learn.
we can't mother
them forever.
Exactly. You know, I am a single parent too. I got divorced when my son was 6 years old, and I remember he was like my purse. Everywhere I went, I would take him with me. And when he was, I think, 11 and a half, I rushed home from church to change, and I tell him, eat quick because we have to go to this jazz concert. And he said, Mommy, I don't want to go. And, oh, my God, I was so insulted. I was so devastated, and I cried and I cried, and I locked myself in my room. And guess what? I did not go to the concert.
Right.
it was such a rude awakening for me. And all of a sudden it hits me that I was not changing my parenting style. He wants to have his own friends. I am his mother. He wanted to be around his own, but it is just, especially when we are single parents. So we can't just wait until they are about to go. We have to start along.
Right, training them, yes, yes.
And training ourselves, training them and molding ourselves for when the day comes, you know?
Right, right. And I encourage women, have a plan, you know, for when their child leaves. Don't wait until it happens, you know, because then you're scrambling and you don't know what to do. So it's good to plan ahead.
How receptive has your teaching been for people over 50? How receptive are there some reluctancy in accepting it, or are people challenge what you're doing?
Well, I you broke up there on your question there, but I think what you were asking was, you know, are women embracing it, or are they digging in their feet? Is that correct? Okay, okay. You know, there's a lot of guilt that women first have to get over, and that they don't feel like they can do something for themselves, that it's selfish, that they have to give everything they have, you know, emotionally, spiritually, physically, away to other people to serve others. And it's really backwards. You know, you cannot give away what you don't have. So you have to replenish and nourish your mind, body, and spirit. So it's time to, you know, give yourself permission. I even have a permission slip that I use with women to give yourself permission to do things for yourself, because when you are, you know, nourished and vibrant, then you're better. You're a better person to yourself. You're a better person when you're around other people, and you have the energy that you need to, you know, do something new and, you know, do something that's interesting rather than just feeling like that you can't do something for yourself. So getting over that guilt is a huge step for women. And then there's fear, you know, fear of the unknown, fear of change, fear of doing something that might stretch them or change them a little bit, and we all get stuck in a rut. It's really comfortable there. And to get out of that rut and to start moving ever so slowly is sometimes an effort. But once you get out of the rut and you see what's ahead, it's exciting. It's just getting there, that, you know, getting unstuck is also a big chore.
You know, you are so on point, because, you know, women, you would hear them say, oh, I can't afford that luxury. They can't afford the luxury of a manicure or a pedicure, because I have to do this and I have to do that for the family. And it's not about being selfish. It's about being selfless, because when you give more to yourself, then you can support all other things that you're supposed to do from your overflow. So,
absolutely.
You know, my focus and emphasis is around maintaining the overflow. You know, I oftentimes use the scenario of a full cup, and I've now stepped up to a mug, because I said, you know, with everything going on in society, we women, we don't need an ordinary cup. We need a huge mug. And we play that mug. It doesn't need to be in a saucer. It need to be in a dessert plate or a dinner plate. So we will be able to gather enough overflow to support everybody there, and so that we can still keep flourishing in ourselves. So it's amazing.
Okay.
There's a lot of work to be done in women, but I know with people like you, and like with this platform and your willingness to share, we are getting ready for a revolution. We are going to be a source to reckon with.
Absolutely. And I like to encourage women, treat yourself like you would your best friend.
That's right.
And, you know, you buy your best friend those manicures and pedicures as a gift, yet you won't do them for yourself. You know, your best friend, if she has an idea that she thinks she might want to do, you know, you wouldn't discourage her and tell her that she's too old or not smart enough to do it. You would encourage her to go for it. So treat yourself just like you would, you know, your very best friend, and, you know, love yourself, encourage yourself, and have confidence that you can do anything that you want to do.
So where do women start? They're listening to you now and they say, yeah, it's on all hunky-dory for her. She started when her kids were young and she don't understand. I've been home with these 10 kids and now they're gone. I mean, where do they start?
Well, it's really just, again, it's allowing them to recognize their value and to know that it's possible to do anything that they really want to do. You know, I absolutely was terrified when I thought I needed to get back into the workforce because I had been out for so long, and I thought I didn't have anything to offer anyone, that I had, you know, I thought, well, I don't have any skills, you know, compared to some of these younger people, and I'm getting older, and who will want me around because of my age, you know, being over 50, that's difficult. But I just had to get to a point where I did recognize that I did have something to offer, and I could be creative, and I could do some new things, and I didn't have to stick with the things that I had done in the past, that I could do something new and expand myself. And, you know, when you get out and you start meeting new people, it charges your enthusiasm. And, you know, when they are encouraging and think that, you know, they reflect back to you who you really are, then it's very gratifying. And it's, you know, then you can move on. But it's really just, again, it goes back to giving yourself permission, to move on and to do these things. And believe me, I've been there myself, and I've worked with plenty of women. And it doesn't just have to be the empty nest. You know, so many women, when they hit this age, have been in a career for 25, 30 years, and they are so burnt out on their career. You know, it's like they're in an autopilot, and they're tired, and they want to do something new. You know, a lot of us, you know, magically it happens after 50, you know, the kids leave and the husbands leave. So many of these women are found, you know, they have to all of a sudden support themselves when they haven't had to do that before. So it's really digging deep and finding your purpose in life and aligning the rest of your life with your purpose that will bring you and others meaning and joy.
You know, I always maintained that anyone who raised a child full-time from birth until that child leaves to go to college, you have a lot of skills that you have acquired before that child was born. Unless you did not take that child out that door from the minute you have acquired some skills that you had not put on a resume before you became a mother. And a lot of times women tend to push those skills under the rug, and that's what you can go out there and use to market yourself. You probably had not looked at event planning or anything else. Look, you are looking at and flourishing in an area now that you had not tackled before you were a parent, and you are making a difference. It's just the encouragement for that this is a soft place for them to land, that to take, because we're supporting each other. But a lot of women, I'm sorry?
That's okay. You were breaking up, and I'm trying to piece it a little bit together, but I'm going to jump in here and just say that, you know, we were all given certain unique gifts when we were created. And, you know, those gifts are always with us, and so it's up to us to discover what are those gifts and, you know, how can we use them. And you know, you use them, your purpose changes at different areas of your life. You know, it takes on a different flavor, but you deep down, you have a core purpose. So knowing what that purpose is and knowing what your God-given gifts are will get you going with nothing else. And then you add on the skills that you have, the skill sets that you have acquired or, you know, maybe that you had earlier in life. You can polish those up. And so all those things together, along with your personality traits and your values, they create such a unique individual that has so much to offer that, you know, it's time to really discover all those things and bring them all together so you can, go out and use yourself in the way that you're supposed to be used.
How do you encourage women to begin to identify what these skills are or what they have to bring out into the marketplace? How can they begin to identify those things?
Well, you know, one way is just to sit down and make a list of the things that you know you're good at doing, you know, things mm-hmm. that people compliment you on, things that you enjoy mm-hmm. doing, things that you feel like that you are gifted at, naturally gifted at. And another way that I love to do with my clients is to have, you know, send an email out to 10 or 15 of your friends from different areas of your life, people you've mm-hmm. known your entire life and people in your workplace, different around, and ask them, when you hear my name, what are the first words that come to your mind?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems a little scary, but it's a wonderful exercise because the answers you get back generally are very consistent mm-hmm. because you are who you are and people see in you who you are. And mm-hmm. so they will help point out to you the areas of your strength. And mm-hmm. it's very affirming and confirming as well because you go, oh, you know, well, I was trying to be that, you know, and so I'm glad people see that in me. And then oftentimes they will point out things that you don't recognize in yourself, that you fail to acknowledge.
You are so right, Susan, because many years ago, over 20-something plus years ago, I did not do that via email, but I wrote 10 letters.
Good.
And people, not individuals, knew that somebody else got the same letter. And when mm-hmm. I got the reply, it was as if they were sitting around a conference table in a boardroom brainstorming.
Ooh.
And it was powerful. And part of me doing what I'm doing today was that.
Oh, wow.
The reply I got was based on benefits that they had gathered from me, unintentional. I was just going about my business and just discussing with some things with them that they implemented that changed their lives. And at that time, I was not even thinking of being a coach or speaker or anything. I was just being Daphne.
Right.
And so it works if we just follow suit and do, because, you know, God brought us here for a purpose.
Right.
And
right.
It's amazing when we follow suit, it's not as difficult as we think it's going to be.
Absolutely, you know, and just when we try to be what we're not or try to do things that we're not gifted at, that's mm-hmm. when we have conflict with ourselves and we don't feel comfortable and confident. So it's really knowing, you know, your gift and your skills and then building on that and being okay with not having some things, you know, because you weren't given things for a reason as well. You know, other people were getting certain gifts, and you weren't. So, you know, don't wish that you can't, you know, keep wishing that you had something that your girlfriend has, because
there's
a reason for that.
That butt was not meant for your two tiny legs.
That's right. That's right. So just don't try to, you know, don't spend your energy because it's not going to happen.
That's right, and plus the other stuff that you're spending a lot of money to get,
That's
you
are, right.
You got your portion. You got the portion that you could deal with. So just
right.
love it and embrace it and move along with it, you know.
It's just, right. That is so true.
Yes.
And
yes.
be joyful that you don't have to do everything because I say that we try to be manager of the universe. And we can't, you know, we cannot do that. And so we have to let go of some things.
Yeah, you just end up messing it up. Just
mm-hmm.
your race. And I tell you something. Can you imagine that we all run our individual race that we were called to run? We wouldn't be having so much hate in this world. It would be a world of love, and everybody would be so satisfied because we
right.
would be authentically who we are called to be.
Right.
But we
right.
keep shifting lanes, and I'm trying to run the race and push you out of your lane, and there's so much turmoil that is going on, you know?
That is so true. That is so true. Just let everybody be themselves and be your own self and quit trying, you know, it's just the envy of other people, you know, and trying to take away from them, and it's really not necessary for, you know, harmony.
That's right. Can you share with us what it was like for you that day when you realized, wow, I've made the connection. No, I'm moving into my second life. This is a second chance. What was it like for you?
You know, it wasn't a day. It was, this has been a process for me. I jumped into the website and, you know, thought that was going to be my legacy. And so I worked constantly on that for a year. And after that first year, I wasn't sure I was on the right path. I thought, well, I think this is what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm really not even sure why I'm doing it anymore. And so I had jumped into it, you know, maybe not completely understanding why I was doing that. So I did take a step back and, you know, reevaluated and dug deep and realized that was just a small part of what I was supposed to be doing, that it was a tool, and that I was limiting myself with my own small vision, and I needed to think bigger and allow myself to be used in a bigger way. And I do know that whenever I think about the possibilities, it takes my breath away. Because you know, when we allow ourselves to be used and don't fight back, then, you know, we can expand beyond our own limitations. So, you know, so at that point, I did realize that I needed to play bigger and, you know, get out from behind my computer. I was behind my computer all day, every day, and I was not using my gifts fully, and so I allowed myself to get out and start working with women one-on-one and speaking publicly and writing and doing some things that, you know, really helped me to really flourish and, you know, do the things I was supposed to do. So, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. I think it's a process.
Right.
And once you discover those things, then the light bulb goes on and you go, oh, my gosh, it can be great out there if I'll let it be.
Right. And I based on what you just said, it's my understanding that at the beginning of your process, you were not working with a coach. Am I correct?
That's right.
I just
jumped in, without that. And it was harder that way.
Right. If you had it to do over again, if you were to start today, do you think it would have shortened your learning curve if you had start off with a coach?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, we all think we can do it ourselves, and we can't. So
that's
I
right.
have tried way too much these do-it-yourself and, you know, try to do-it-yourself program, and, oh, well, I can just learn by myself and not put the money into it. And I have I have spent way more time, probably double the amount of time and double the amount of money trying to do it myself than I would have had I just jumped in with somebody from the very beginning and said, okay, you're my leader, you're my navigator here, let's walk this mm-hmm. path together. So absolutely, yes. Doubled my time and money for sure. When I look back, I think that's probably one of my biggest regrets.
Right. And I talk to gone already, and those are the reasons why we want to help women understand that you don't always need to reinvent the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Because women think like they don't want to put the money out to get this done because they have to do this and they have to do the other. But your inside, working from your inside, is very important. So it is of vital importance if you are planning and sorting anything out to sit with a mutual person, not a family member, not your spouse. Because the reason for that is that they love you so much and they don't want to see you hurt. So try and work with somebody mutual who is like a coach or a mentor. And
right.
once you have it all sorted out so you can have a productive conversation around it, then you can sit with family members or your spouse and explain it to them.
Right.
You know?
You are so right, yes. And, you know, let someone who's gone before you and, you know, already made these mistakes prevent you from making them. And, you know, if someone has a process that it's refined and it's proven, then why try to go it on your own when you can do it with someone who's got the system to make it happen faster?
17 minutes remaining segment. So what for you to do, I would like for you to just summarize the key points you want to leave the listeners with. And
okay.
At the end of your summary, if you would be kind enough to let them know how to contact you, I would appreciate that, please.
Okay. I would love to do that. You know, I guess for women in particular and for anyone at this stage of life, you know, this midlife point when you have this big shift, this internal shift, whatever it is just to give yourself permission to change and to grow and have confidence in yourself, but know that you cannot do it by yourself, that you do need someone alongside you as your navigator, your cheerleader, your accountability partner. You know, someone to help you, you know, chart the path. But there's a wonderful world out there, and we have so many years left ahead of us. You know, 50 is not like it used to be. You know, our parents retired in their 50s, and we don't do that now. We've got 30 years left, you know, and we need to make the most of it. And we have so much wisdom to share, so much good, you know, so much goodness from inside and the things that we've learned. And, you know, use them to the best of your ability. Don't sit on them. I love to tell women that you were created, you know, to shine. You have a brilliance. And so don't let it just flicker, you know. Don't keep it so smothered that it cannot, you know, illuminate the world. Just get out and do the things you were created to do. And, you know, if you don't know what that is, then get someone to help you find what that is and go forward with confidence in knowing that you were created, you know, as a unique, wonderful human being, and, you know, it's time to let that shine. And you can contact me. My website, flourishover50.com. You can contact me through there. You can. There's a little pop-up box that comes up, and I know that's how Daphne got in touch with me. And you can schedule an appointment or send me a note through that pop-up on the right. All my programs are on there. You know, I'm a speaker. I love to come and speak to women's groups all over the country. And, you know, you can read about my speaking there and just, you know, really, and it's also my blog, and so there's a lot of, you know, good resources there, just my own journey, you know, to inspire you to, you know, do something better for yourself and to not be afraid It's my own journey, and it's been a rich one, and I cannot imagine doing anything else at this point in my life. It's wonderful.
Is there anything you had on your mind that you want attention to?
Okay.
I'm sorry about that. I'm saying, I know
okay.
I asked you to summarize what the Spirit wanted me to ask you, if there was anything else on your mind you wanted to mention that I did not touch on.
Oh,
and I
okay.
wanted to be obedient to that option.
Okay. I think for me, it's just really, I am so passionate when I talk to women about, working with them and helping them find their way and find their purpose. And I did not know about a life purpose until, when I started this journey. I'd never heard of a life purpose statement before. And it changed my life when I learned about that and, acknowledged that it was God's purpose for my life. And I, allowed that to become the focal point of what I do with other women. And know your purpose. Everybody has a purpose. And it keeps you motivated, inspired. It keeps you focused. It keeps you out of the ditch, because everybody has a bad day. But when you know that you're focused on your purpose, then you can pull yourself out of your ditch a lot easier. And just have the joy of, knowing that you have so much to offer, and it's time to do it. And, don't think that you're all used up because you're over 50, because that is far from the truth. It's time to just start all over again with a new chapter.
Yeah, 50 is the new 25, right?
I believe it. People say 50 is the new 40. I say, no, it's more like 30.
Right.
We try to be healthier now, and we're intelligent, educated, smart. We have wisdom. Oh, my gosh, the wisdom that we have to share with others. I'm a mentor for a program at my church called Moms of Preschoolers, MOPS. And they just soak in any kind of wisdom that I share with them, because they're young mothers with little bitty babies and toddlers, and they want to know these things from us, and it's our responsibility to share them.
I was smiling a couple of weeks ago when New York hired a new school chancellor who is in her 70s. I think she was retired, and they called her back, and I think one of the journalists asked her whether she was an interim chancellor, and she said, as far as I know, I'm going to be working this 70s.
Well, and I have to laugh when the news will talk about some elderly person, and they're like 65, and they're calling them elderly.
Yeah,
and I think elderly is like 90, but it's not 65.
I remember when I used to think 40 was, oh, my God, 40 was so old.
So old,
and now
yes.
I'm in my 60s, and I'm thinking, how old am I again? So I have to pull my pen out, because I have no idea how old. Well, Susan, I want to thank you so very much for your investment of time and knowledge in the web.
Thank you for having me.
And I look forward to continuing building this relationship in us.
I am too. It's been such a pleasure. We have so much in common, and I'm looking forward to it.
Look forward. I'd invite you. See you, and you have a blessed rest of the week.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Yes, that was Susan Tolles, and I have to go on the episode and correct her name. I have my other guest, Susie Mardot, on the line holding on, and I'm going on live. So in the meantime, here's a word from our sponsor.
AMD Law Group is an international law practice committed to assisting you in realizing your strategic business goals. Led by Ms. Aurelia Mitchell Durant, Senior Managing Partner, AMD Law specializes in international business, international intellectual property, and general internet law. We also support organizations in resolving corporate compliance issues. Addressing the legal needs of technology firms and other businesses serving both domestic and international markets, we are uniquely positioned to assist both startups and long-established organizations. Although AMD seeks to proactively avoid litigation wherever possible, we are fully capable and ready to litigate on your behalf. AMD Law Group. Find us online at amdlawgroup.com or contact us at 347-699-4AMD. That's 347-699-4263. Let us help you pursue and protect your dreams.
Again, I just want to remind you to call Todd Olinda Begg, 203-818-3174 or 203-539-0094. You may also email her at Olinda Begg, OLINDABEGG at AOL.com, and discuss with her how you can participate in that shows that we have coming up June the 14th to the 22nd on the Norwegian Epic. And now, without any further delay, I want to bring on my second guest, Susie Mardeau. Hello, Susie. How are you?
Hi, Miss Sweetie. I feel like I need to call you that when I hear you talk about your nonprofit.
I'm telling you, yeah. I feel I'm like a child when I get home. It's so funny because now I'm in my 60s, and some of the people I knew as a child, they are still alive when I go back home and I see them. I'm still calling them Mr. and Mrs. And they said, Miss Sweetie, now you're a woman. You don't have to call me that anymore. But I cannot call them by their first name, you know?
I hear it. But that's such a great name. So I could have done the Dr. Daphne and all of that, but I like that one better.
We are family. We are family.
Exactly.
I hope you are warm down there in New York. We have bright sunshine up here in Connecticut, but I know it's nipping outside.
I know. I've got my brand new slippers on, keeping me warm as we talk.
I love social media, you know. In the, when was it, 5, 2, 7, 8 years ago, I probably would have canceled today broadcast because I was going into a physical studio where I had to travel.
Right.
Snow, rain, sleet. But now I can sit in the comfort of my home and just talk to a woman in Austin, Texas, and speak to a woman in New York State, and sometimes be in it. Well, who is Susie Mardeau?
Oh, there's so much to Susie Mardeau. But I would say, I love listening to your previous interview with Susan, because I was listening and feeling like I could have jumped in with that similar story of a past life working in advertising, then, you know, moving up to the suburbs and raising a family and working part-time. And only now, as my daughter's about to go off to college, am I about to step into, I've been doing some event planning and I have my own company, events and fundraising, and I sort of see a future in coaching. So as I was listening to you say, I'm just being who I am, and if that helps people, that's great. And, you know, together we raise each other up, which is really, you know, kind of my being. So I was joyful to listen to that. But nowadays I'm busy doing events and fundraising for nonprofits, and that incorporates both, you know, social events, weddings, bar mitzvahs, milestone birthdays, and then nonprofit fundraisers, because, you know, every nonprofit, as you know, needs to raise funds to support their cause and their purpose work.
Yep. I was looking on the Ellen DeGeneres or something. And I said, man, I need to get somebody to write into her about what I'm doing. She's giving away a lot of money on that show. I said, we got to get somebody to write a letter about the project so we
yes.
can get some money.
mm-hmm. She's got
well,
such a good spirit, right? And that
oh,
she's
yes,
all about
she
being
has.
Kind and,
yes,
you know, loving each
oh
other, which
God.
Is great.
Yes. She has so much love to give away. And mm-hmm. it warms my heart. You know, a couple times I have this show as someone who watches a lot of television.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, every time I watch it, it warms my heart to see what she's doing. But you have a unique message, and you think that greater than we is very
mm-hmm.
important. You want to explain what that means before we get into the conversation for today.
Sure, I would love to. So the company name, when I first started, I named my company Great Events, GR mm-hmm. with the number 8, like you were texting maybe. And although
yeah.
that says what I did, it wasn't really speaking to what the way I did it. And I really wow. believe in the importance of collective good, of people working together, co-creating, and that the end result is better than any one of the individuals. So as creative as I might be and as connected as I might be, when I start working with others, it takes on a whole new life of its own. And when we work together and we all do our parts and we raise each other up, the end results are fantastic. And that was where the name Greater Than We spoke to me. And it just felt much larger than, you know, simple events.
Wonderful, wonderful. Because you're there, no. That in certain areas, the...
You're breaking up a little bit. Can I ask you to repeat
oh,
that?
Man. Are you hearing me better now?
Now I am. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's wrong with this this Skype. It took me a long time to get on this morning. But
mm-hmm.
I was saying in a lot of communities
that...
Are you hearing?
Yes.
Oh, I heard you sigh, and I wasn't sure why that was. A lot in a lot of areas, you've committed said to get the message out. They're out looking for the safe dollars. I think that this is such a powerful message where if people can focus on the we versus me, it will be more beneficial for the community at large. So it's an amazing thing that you are doing and to get this message out.
Thank you. Thank you. I will say that one of my most proud, a perfect example of the we versus the me, one of my more proud accomplishments, I help a nonprofit called Operation Prom.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just
mm-hmm.
one story. There are many. But when Hurricane Sandy, you know, devastated the Rockaways
mm-hmm.
last year, that many of the schools could no longer afford to, you know, throw a prom and give these kids the rite of passage. And Operation Prom's mission is always to supply kids in need with prom dresses or tuxes if they need them so they could attend their event. But we decided to try to raise enough funds so we could fully fund their prom. And we went online and did a crowdfunding campaign, kind of like your GoFundMe, which is fantastic, and I'd love to talk to you about that. And we actually involved the students. So rather than just go do it for them, we had them tell their story and create video, which is video so important. It's such a great way to connect. And we all emailed, you know, everyone we knew, you know, help us raise a little bit. And everybody's small contributions, really like $50 and less, most people, combined to raise up over $12,000, and we fully funded these kids' proms, and they had the time of their life. And it's that sort of stuff where everybody wants to be involved, and they can't maybe write the big check, but they can do mm-hmm. something and feel part of it.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, our focus here, this show, is to educate, inspire, and empower entrepreneurs. And I know that there oftentimes I personally have conversations with entrepreneurs and they think that, oh, that's out of my league. That's for mm-hmm. the big boys. But
sure.
how can entrepreneurs carve a piece of this for themselves? How can they become part of getting involved?
Absolutely. Well, they can, for themselves, imagine they want to start, you know, imagine it's for their own business. And let's say somebody has a book that they want to publish, but they cost them money. And so this is now their own specific project versus a charitable organization and helping others. They can go on. There's a great website called Kickstarter. And the thing that I like about Kickstarter, which is, again, another crowdfunding platform, you're raising money, you're reaching out to people and asking people for their help and, you know, fund my project. But the great thing about Kickstarter is they don't like to fund kind of half they like to fully fund the project. So if they don't raise enough money to fully fund their project, everybody gets their money back. Does that make sense? Did I explain that correctly?
Yeah. So, well, I need to talk to you about that one for something
entirely different. Yeah, it's truly fantastic. And when you're doing this sort of campaign, imagine, let's say I'm going to use that book as an example, you can really use it almost as pre-ordering. So if you were to say, hey, if you donate, you know, $35, you're going to get a copy of my book. So really what they're doing is just prepaying, and they're, you know, raising enough money to do that first run. So it's really a win-win, and I'm all about the win-win.
Yeah.
Ooh, you're going to have to repeat it again. I'm sorry.
Oh, gosh. I need something else. This Skype is not working. I did not know about that. I will need to speak with you about a different project. I have a personal project.
Oh, fantastic. I'm happy to help.
Yeah, I'll talk to you after the show about that. Yes. Okay. So you spoke about the PROM. What's the name of the organization again?
That's OperationPROM.org.
Operation PROM. I'm glad that we are speaking this service. I tell entrepreneurs that if you go out, we all go to these mixers and networking events and everything. And I think a lot of times we spend too much time talking about what we want out of these events. But I think if we will change the format of the conversation a bit and begin to speak about what we can do for the community as a collective body, we are going to find out that our business is going to start to grow more. What's your thought around that, Susie?
Well, I completely agree. And what, you know, as far as what I like to say is I like to bake a little goodness into every event that I do or every project that I work on. So when I work on social events, whether it be a wedding or a bar mitzvah, there's generally, for the bar mitzvahs, there's community service acts that go on. And then the child who's involved with that or the wedding couple that would like donations in lieu of gifts, it makes everybody feel really good. And that's part of a business model or an event that I might do. If you're going into a corporate structure, one of the things I could advise or give a little tip for is if you are more than, you know, just a solopreneur and you've got workers working for you, that you can actually pull them and make them feel a part of your decision. If you want to be part of a initiative that will help a philanthropy, many employees like to feel valued because they like to know that they are heard and that their employer cares about what's important to them. And I think the best way, rather than having the employer just dictate which, you know, organization is going to be the philanthropy maybe of the year or the project of the moment, maybe you ask the employees to speak about what's important to them.
Exactly. So it doesn't become a dictatorship. There is a the name of Debbie Ford, and she has a little boy. They are a Jewish family.
Mm-hmm.
And the little boy, when he had, well, not little boy, you know what age they have their bar mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
And, right, he used his money to build a school, a 7-room school in Africa. for other children. And every time I watched that, tears came to my eyes. I said, wow. 13 years old, and he sees the difference. And when he was being interviewed, and when people came, how does it feel to be a child? I said, what is a child? It's so cute. Because he's making a difference. He didn't know about these different titles and everything, and his parents didn't show him all of that. They just encouraged him to do what he was doing. I want to take this opportunity to welcome our friend Susie, Karen Yankovic, to the chat room. Welcome, Karen. We hope you will call in with your question. She said, hello, ladies, Susie.
Hi, Karen.
Okay. So she's typing. And I want to remind the listeners that if you have a question, or if you are someone who have benefited from Susie's work over the years, take this opportunity to call in. I mean, everybody deserves a pat on the back. So call 6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9-5-6-6-9- also I want to welcome guest six, no, no, not six, not that, 443 to the show. Okay, yes, Karen says she will maybe try later to call in. Okay. All right, so again, the number is 646-915-8266. You need to wait for the conversation. So what other messages do you have for entrepreneurs about what it is you can offer them that will help them to just bring about some difference in their business in 2014? We know this is the year of abundance, and there are many ways that we can accumulate that abundance.
I love that. I would say that for the entrepreneurs that are listening, that when you start involving a little bit of purpose work, when you start going back to the basics of why you created your business and sort of staying on task with what that mission is, everything else sort of falls away. You can get easily distracted by all the social media or what somebody else is doing. Oh, did my competitor do X or Y? And none of that really matters, because I personally believe that if you stay true to how you like to work, it all works out the way it's supposed to for you.
I believe that when you're in your authenticity, you have no competition, because ain't nobody that can be you. So we spend too much time focusing on the competition instead of building on that which we are given and give the best of who we are. I'm not saying we don't collaborate on things like that, but people spend a lot of money and effort on, you know, tracking down what competition is doing. And before you know it, 6 months of the year is gone and you haven't touched any part of what you want to give.
Exactly. And I think that you have to be relatable. So when you're busy, if I'm comparing myself to, let's say, like Colin Cowie, who's like the top event planner that's planning Oprah's birthday, you know, that's not necessarily relatable to me or to maybe my clients, because my clients are not Oprah. So you want
right.
to stay true to what you're doing. And, like, mm-hmm. Lord knows I love Oprah, so don't get me wrong. But that as long as you focus on what you do well and you're hitting the people you're supposed to be hitting, like as far as your targets, it all happens and unfolds as it should.
That's right, because it's about what you're offering at the person you're serving. And that's why it's important. It doesn't matter who we are serving. We need to sit with them, whether virtually or whichever format we are going to use. understand about who they are and what they're looking for.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Even as,
and it doesn't matter what your business is. That message,
exactly.
I think, is universal.
That's right. That's right. A lot of times people will say to me, well, how much you charge for coaching? And I say, I have no idea. And they look at me puzzled. I said, well, I really don't know what your needs are. I don't know whether I am the right person for you. So before I can tell you how much I'm going to charge you, I need to be sure I can deliver what you're looking for. So we need to end in a conversation, talk about all the other piece of what's happening. And I tell people to, especially with that word coach, be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many people out there said, oh, well, I'm a life coach. And what does that mean, really? I mean, you know.
I have to say the one thing, I like the word coach, but I like it because I truly have an athletic soul. I'm very athletic. I played a lot of sports. So to me, coaching is about teaching teamwork and kind of raising each other up. So, but yes, I do know it's sort of an overused word.
Yes, I love the word coach, and I use it. However, it specifies the aspect of coaching that I do. And I think that's what, instead of saying you're a life coach, you need to let the person know what part of life you coach on. Because we are not an end-all to all. I mean, there's no one person that is everything. I mean,
exactly.
there are people that really don't want to buy and I do this, that. And you know the fact is you really can't do that. So begin to specialize. This way you are going to be able to serve better without ripping your own hair out.
I agree. I agree a lot. I think that all of our different, just because we've gone through an experience doesn't mean that we're a coach.
Exactly.
You know, like I might have lost a bunch of weight, but I'm not a nutritionist. You know, I don't have that expertise.
Exactly. That's right. We are on the same page this morning. I want to remind the people we only have 47 minutes remaining in this segment, and time really goes by quickly. So pick up the phone and call. The number to do so is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. So who are some of the clients that you serve? If you want to, like, give a list. People.
Well, you're breaking up a little. You asked me who are the list of clients that I serve?
That you can serve. But the people who are listening, I don't think she's the person for me. Who are the people that can call you for consultation?
Well, I would say that when I deal with social events, I'm dealing much more with families and that, or, you know, single parents, working moms that are really busy that can't manage the planning and scheduling, or they just really need help with the decision-making process. So whether these families are for, you know, a second marriage, I haven't done, it's funny enough, I've done a lot of weddings, and they're always older couples. Not old, but just they're not like the 20-year-olds getting married for the first time. It's either a second marriage or a later-in-life marriage. So that's interesting. But then the bar and bat mitzvahs or the 50th birthday parties, 40th birthday parties, you know, little milestone events that go on. So that I've had a lot of referrals is how I'm getting a lot of that work. And as far as the corporate and the nonprofit work, that, again, I have a weekly newsletter that goes out that now each Friday I try to spotlight a different nonprofit and just sort of spotlight their purpose work and explain a little bit about it, and that's entering onto my blog these days. And from that, I'm even getting some more calls, which is fantastic. And those, I would say, are the two areas that I would consider myself busiest with.
All right. Okay. And I'm reminding the people to call in with questions, 646-915-8166. You mentioned about spending your earlier years in advertisement and then move into a different area and starting a different career. What was that like for you? Was it an easy transition?
Well, what's interesting about that, and I would say, you know, even back from my college time, I had studied architecture and economics. And when I was in advertising, I was representing creatives and doing the business side. So I've always had kind of that yin-yang in whatever I did. When I finished my career in advertising and I moved up, I just, you know, there's a lot of late hours. And as a mom of two younger kids, I was not really willing to kind of commute and add and never be home for them. So I came up to the suburbs, and I had a little bit of a breakdown, I would say, because I had, I'm sure, defined myself by my career. I was pretty successful with that. And then to be home and you know, having more trips to the gas station and the grocery store than I could ever have imagined wasn't quite the playground I wanted to be playing in, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah.
So that really
oh, yeah.
started me on a path. I started a part-time job, and then I had a little party favor business, which sort of spiraled into, can you help me plan this event? And it just kind of all unfolded very naturally. And now that my oldest is getting ready to go off to college, I feel like I'm ready to kind of lean into a bigger work schedule. And then not that that means it's got to be more hours. It might be, I think I can work a little smarter as opposed to harder.
And what I like about what you just share is that you did not sit and fall into depression, because a lot of times that's what women do. You know, they walk out of their big corporate six-figure jobs and all of a sudden they have to kind of sort of start somewhere a little lower, and they just can't figure and they fall into depression. But right away you kind of put on your creative hat on and figure, let me start this little party thing and look what has evolved out of it now.
Absolutely. And that evolution, it's like you, you know, sometimes you might want to rush the process, but that evolution is really necessary. And also, you know, when you move to a new community, the onus, I used to say, you're going to laugh at this one. People would say, so what are you doing up there now that you're not in the city? And I would say, we're dating the neighbors. And everyone's like, you're dating the neighbors? What the heck is that all about? And I'm like, you know how it is. Like, you don't know anybody, so you have to ask them, like, do you want to go out? You maybe we can all go out to dinner. And then it's, what are you wearing? And all of a sudden, it's like a date. And some, you know, some couples get a second date and some couples don't. But you have to sort of make friends is the point of that. It's not that you're really dating them. But it's sort of the mindset of you got to put yourself out there. So there's a little bit of time and investment of kind of finding your posse. And that is no small feat, I will tell you.
That's amazing. I love that, my laughter. I get enough laughter for the day. I just so special.
You're breaking up. Say it again. I'm sorry.
I tell you, Skype, come on. Because
come on, Skype.
Me. Yeah, I haven't done anything else. I haven't moved my position. I haven't even took a sip of water since I'm on here.
Now I'm hearing you.
Okay, so I don't know. Come on, Sky, please. Anyhow, I was saying, I was laughing because you are so correct. People who live and work in the city, they think anything outside of the city is just not happening. It is like so suicidal to think, oh, how could you? You're traveling 2 hours on the train. How could you? So I'm dating the neighbors. That's a good one. I love that.
And then, well, what's funny is then I would say it out loud, and people would say, like, are we going to get a second date? I mean, this is goes back many years. You're like, I don't know. Because both, like, you want your partners or husbands or wives to enjoy each other, and you don't want it to just be one-sided. So, you know, if you wind up just having lunch with the woman, that means, like, the husbands generally didn't get along. And if you wind up folding the families together, you're like, okay, or, you know, whoever.
Oh, my God, this is too funny. something else just to mind that I cannot talk about on the air because it is a family show, but I remember kind of just mentioned years ago I was invited to go to an event with some of my 30 plus year old friends, and it was a surprise for me because they didn't tell me where I was going. And when we got there, they say, oh, these are the housewives from a certain town in Connecticut they had mentioned. they are the housewives that writes the checks for certain items. And I said, oh, my God.
Exactly.
You're never too old to learn. They say, yeah. And this mm-hmm. lady, she used to run a daycare service.
Mm-hmm.
Until she got involved in this business, which is much for not working 3 days a week, and she was making more in a week than she was making in a month for the child care business. I said,
wow.
Oh my Lord. So
So crazy, right? It's, you know, when you actually, it's just occurring to me that as you were saying, what kind of events do you do? That
yeah.
is part of the evolution. So, like, I used to do
yep.
a lot more, you know, birthday parties for kids when I had kids that were kids, little.
Yep.
And so as things evolve with me, so does my work. So who
yes,
knows what I'm going to be doing, you know, 10
exactly.
years from now.
Exactly. Because there are lots of parties. Never know what's happening. Things are happening when the kids are in preschool and the ladies are going out and they're toy shopping and a whole lot of stuff. And I had no idea that there was a business around
yes.
those things. So there's
yep.
so much to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I am telling you. Any questions from you people in the chat room? Guests 443, guests 469, and anybody else on the phone line to call in? Susie, is there anything you want to speak about that I haven't touched yet?
I think that really it's just important that, and Susan said this very well in the last interview, is that don't be scared to let your head go to even bigger and better places or things that you can't imagine you can do. You just have to, you know, thoughts become reality. So if you can start letting your head, you know, open up and your heart expand, you can do whatever it is you really set your mind to. But you got to set it. It doesn't mean it doesn't come without work. It just means it comes with a lot of intention and love.
You know, and I don't know whether you have enough experience around what I'm going to ask you to speak on it, but based on your personal experience and some of the relationships you have, do you think that we as women are so reluctant to making a new start or taking that second or third or even sometimes fourth jump into something?
Well, I do think that as women that we have been ingrained for centuries, well before our parents and parents' parents, of just certain roles and what's expected of you as a woman. And as much as we try to shatter those, they're kind of ingrained in our consciousness. So we have to really work hard at trying to, whether it's shatter the myth or just lean against it, push against it, because as we, you know, step into what it is we want to do, sometimes you come up against some resistance, and the minute, you know, maybe your family is a little less supportive or your friends are questioning what you're doing, and, you know, that's really the time. Are you going to stand, like lean into what you want to do, or are you going to bow down because you're scared of what other people think? And the truth is, the only thing that matters is what you think. And if you stand in confidence and do what you do and just make the effort for it, you're going to find your cheerleaders somewhere. Mm-hmm. And those mm-hmm. are the ones you want to surround yourself with.
Mm-hmm. How did you identify your cheerleaders when you moved to a different community? Did you have to reach out to your former cheerleaders in the city? Or how did you go about establishing the new relationships in your new community?
Well, that was a while back, but I will say that I still hold on to some of my city relationships because those are my longtime cheerleaders. It does take time, and it evolves because, you know, as you evolve and maybe you change, you know, I have definitely changed. I am not the person that, arrived here 12 years ago. I am far from it. I'm just a better version of whoever I was then. And I don't want to say that it's threatening because I don't really mean it's that way. It makes sometimes people uncomfortable when you change because they think then they don't know you. And it is, you just have to realize that they're projecting their stuff. And that's okay because they're on their spot of their journey. So the cheerleaders or your angels, I like to think of them as my angels, become really clear because it just mm-hmm. feels really good to be around them. And there's mm-hmm. no kind of nonsense or negativity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
that, you know, I'd rather surround myself with people that are positive.
Exactly. And it's part of your evolution, too, because if you were the same way today, 12 years ago, something would have been wrong and they would have need to be calling the shrink for you. Because
yes.
people who remain the same way, there is no growth.
Right.
And you know something, if we are not growing before long, we are not going to be around. So I think each and every person, regardless of your gender, we
Correct.
Need to let it be part of us that I'm doing X, Y, and Z to bring about some change in my life. Every day needs to be a day of growth. We should be doing something to grow.
Amen.
I love that. You know, and I keep saying women because that's the costume that I wear, but I think men are much more open and receptive to take risk. And to go there, you know, men will just go up to another man and he'll say, "What's up, man?" and all of that. They don't really know each other.
Yeah, but they don't connect. Right.
Right.
They don't connect the way women do.
Yeah, and I think that we can still do better. I mean, there's still a lot of barrier and hindrances between us really forging and developing relationships. And I don't know if we can start to get there. That is the year for us as women to do better in order to experience what the universe has for us. Because there are a lot of teachers that are saying that this is the year of abundance in a lot of different areas. How can we really claim that part which is for us, and what can we as individuals do to be part of the collective good? I don't know if you have kind of figured any part of that out.
I think that we just have to really be a little conscious and present and mindful in our decision making. And once you do that and you're sort of responsible for being the best version of you mm-hmm. as you evolve, because you know, that's constantly changing, then you start impacting and inspiring those around you, and then it's that ripple effect of what happens. So the year of abundance, I think, you know, that starts with, there's a lot of self-love that has to happen before you can, you know, spread it out, and Lord knows I had a lot of work and having to learn about that. And because we're so busy doing for everyone else, right? You know, women
right.
tend to do that. You're taking care of everyone, or what will they think? And I must, you know, if I take care of myself, then I'm being selfish. Or when you get the comments from others that might say, well, I wish I had time to you know, go to the gym. Well, I wish I had time to get my nails done or whatever it is, the thing that you like to be kind to yourself with. Mm-hmm. That isn't really a selfish act. That is part of nurturing yourself.
It's a selfish act because unless I can get more to myself, I'm not going to have enough to give to you. And another thing that people will say that, you know, how can you afford to do X, Y, Z? And mm-hmm. and women have, some women tend to have a condescending way of making these remarks. But we need to begin to pamper as you make the budget up for everything else that you're doing. Mm-hmm. You need to put a little something in there for your spouse. It's the $25 for the manicure. You need mm-hmm. to put it in there. You have a nice hand, so when you come and your hand is good, you know.
Right.
Looking at and said, you know, I have to get a tie for my husband or a pair of socks or that. Well, yeah, you can get that, but you need the manicure too, and you need the pedicure because you know those feet are
right.
tough.
And you know what? There's something nice. I know that people might think this is a little wacky, but there's something nice about having somebody else kind of touching you and rubbing your feet or your hands, and just because I think human touch is part of it too. And so you might think, oh, I'll just go take a bubble bath, and that is luxurious. But
No.
You know, when you're busy scratching your kid's back or playing with their hair, or maybe that just goes on in my house, or my dogs that lay on top of me and I need to pet them, sometimes isn't it nice for somebody to, like, rub your feet or, you know, rub your hands when you're getting a manicure?
Because for years, I've been single for many years, and I get the manicures and the pedicures, and I tell the lady, you know, just turn that massage up in that chair hard because I don't have anybody to rub my back or anything like that. And this has to change this year. I have put that on my intention, on
right.
my intention board to have that change. But we have to pamper ourselves. But I want to piggyback on something you said, Susie, because I don't have ever had this experience. That sometimes you try to do that bubble bath at home and you light that candle and you pour the glass of wine and you sit in the bathtub because you figure, oh, I'm going to pamper me. And the minute you immerse yourself in that tub, you think about, oh, my God, I should have done this and that and the other. And so relaxed. It just was.
I think everybody goes through that. I think everybody goes through that. But I think, like anything else, you know, self-care and relaxation or meditation, it takes practice. You're not expected to be an expert. And if you're not used to doing for yourself, you maybe aren't going to get it in the first pass. Because you could be on a massage table thinking the same thing, and you're thinking, dear God, how much am I paying for this? And I can't even relax because my head's thinking about the 19 things I have to do. And, I mean... That I think is just human nature. So, you know, when I'm in those situations, when I'm lucky to be in those situations, you know, unfortunately not nearly enough for my liking, but I really do try to connect with the person that is doing whatever service, talk to them a little bit because they're a person too, and then, you know, leave my stuff outside the door.
Exactly, and you'll be surprised to know how you connect, and it relaxes you off. And I say we are all a work in progress, but the important thing that we are saying is that we start to do something. And I'm so excited that we are having this conversation in the month of January, because the month of January is when everybody always say, well, I've got to start something new and all of that. And we are not saying people have not. But we want to know that you are just like us and we can start somewhere. Go ahead, Susie.
Absolutely. Well, I was going to say this month of January, I did try something new. And I'm on day 29 of a 30-day video challenge that was offered online by this Videos by Holly. I don't know if she's going to be in the queue, but she has offered this community an opportunity to create and post a video every day for 30 days. And initially you might be like, what? Like, that's too much. I can't do it. But the beauty of, you know, a day-to-day accountability for the 30 days and then the unbelievable support within this group, you know, the safety of being vulnerable, not being good. It's not only is, like, were my videos not perfect, they weren't even good. So it's starting from, okay, here we go, to now I'm on day 29, tomorrow is the last day, and I have no problem sitting in front of a camera and talking and realizing the world isn't going to, you know, cave in. And I probably have more issues with it than anybody watching. So that sort of starting the year off right and connecting, I think that if you are an entrepreneur and you have a business, I cannot stress enough that video is really a fantastic way to connect to people. And I don't even know that I would have known that had there not been this 30-day challenge, because as we get to watch everybody's videos each day, you're almost hanging out with them. So now there's over 30 of us that have done it every day for 30 days. I feel like they're my friends. They're sort of my video sisters in this. And it's a really wonderful, as far as the entrepreneurs go, really wonderful thing to add to your websites, to your business. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's always important to take up the initial jump. I welcome guests 469-555-518 to the chat. You're welcome to call in at any time, 646-915-8166, 646-915-8166 with any questions that you may have. My honored guest for this portion of the show is Susie Mardo. We are just so excited about the conversation, both conversations that we had today, and I encourage you to call in with any questions that you may have. 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. Susie, for entrepreneurs who are not regular to like any entrepreneurial gathering or mixers, do you have any tips that they can use to make new connections?
Well, I think that there are, if you mean in terms of how to find places to connect and they don't even know where to look, you can definitely go online. There are meetups all throughout the country that are generally on, you know, have to do with almost every industry. So that's, you know, I believe it's, you know, meetup.com. I'd have to check that one out. So that's a great way to find other local networking events within your industry. And when you, depending what your industry is, it's always great to be networking with other people within it, because you get different ideas. And again, it's that collaborating and co-creating. I don't like to look at people as competitors, but as collaborators.
That's right. So you think that it is very important for entrepreneurs to take more advantage of what's happening on the internet, because there are many entrepreneurs that are shying away from utilizing and embracing the internet on a whole, regardless of what industry they are in. Sometimes they will say, yeah, we'll go to the local networking luncheon or breakfast that's happening. But they really think getting involved with like the meetups and all the other digital stuff is out of their league. But you think it doesn't matter how small we are,
I really don't. I mean, as an event planner, I'm a solopreneur, right? Like, it's just me and then my assistant or whoever I, you know, team up with for each project. And I will say that when I look at my website, maybe if you think about it, even though it's not a commerce site, you're not going and buying, let's say, T-shirts, I look at that as my digital brochure. So instead of me handing somebody a pamphlet, they can go onto my site. they can get a sense of me, and once I put more video on, they'll really get a sense of me. But they can look at my work. They can see, sort of get the vibe of who I am. And I do think that in this day and age, especially as, you know, the generation, the younger generation is coming up, they are completely online. So you need to have a little bit of a digital presence, at least so you seem credible. Because if you're not online, they might think, oh, they're old school. They don't know what they're doing. They're not current. And I don't, you know, I'm not in their head, but it's just kind of assumed. Oh, they're not on, you know, they don't have a site. How could that be in this day and age? Because it's really not that hard to create one. And if it's not your thing, I say hire your team to do it because they can do it.
And I know you are not, you are no longer in the space of advertising, but once you have that knowledge, I know it doesn't go away from you. What kind of image should an entrepreneur focus on having out there? What's the preliminary image that, that we are supposed to have?
Well, you know, certainly everybody talks about having that professional image, but as the older I get, I think it's much more of having a relatable image. I think that people who do business, or I should say people are just people. Like, it's a person doing business with another person. It's not a computer doing business with a person. So you, there's a relatability factor that is really important. You have to feel trustworthy and that you're going to follow through with what it is that you are saying you're going to do. So I could have the flashiest site in town, but sometimes I look at that and think, oh, it's all flash. Like, are they actually calling me back? How come I haven't gotten that estimate, you know, from a month ago? So, you know, I don't think that you need to be overproduced. I think your image is about that you do what you say you're going to do. And one of my favorite quotes, I'm going to throw this quote at you because it's just coming intuitively into my head, is that success doesn't come from doing extraordinary things. It comes from doing ordinary things extraordinarily well. And that is, it's kind of like you don't need to reinvent the wheel. You just have to do what you do well and stick to that.
That's
kind of like
right.
You were saying with coaching, right? Figure out what it is that you can do your best at and do that.
That's just run your race. And I love what you say about the professional versus relatability because I think that a majority of the entrepreneurs over age maybe 40, 45.
Right.
It's the attack kind of switching now where people, let's use formal dressing, suit and tie for one thing, or an expensive tailored suit for a woman and all of that, and whichever way we used to dress back then. That is kind of changing now. And I know some people my age and stuff, we kind of struggle with that because we think that if you turn up in a classic casual, it is not acceptable. But the more you get involved in the new era, you understand how to relate to your audience. I've gone to expensive events that I pay big dollars to go to, and the speaker is on stage in a T-shirt and a flip-flop.
I imagine that speaker dresses that way all the time, but the good part about that speaker is being authentically them.
That's right.
I, you know, I'm leaning in. I'm just about 50, so I'm with you on when I first started working, I would go to, you know, was it Ann Taylor and buy my suit, and it had to look just so. But I was working in a creative industry, so it didn't really match. So eventually I had to readjust because you want to – I do think you want to kind of feel like you belong in the industry that you're in. So if you do have that, you know, formal, let's say, the accountant that has to wear, you know, the suit that – you know, doesn't show your knee, then I guess you got to do that. But more and more, I just don't think corporate America is quite that rigid.
Yeah. I tell you, the first time I am a virtual, I I'm going to not stand there now as Lord tells you what's going of this. And he was good.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of his presentation, I went over and I spoke with him and I said, I hope I can be honest and real with you. I said, when you walked on that stage, I was really turned off from your appearance. But I made the conscious decision that I was not going to focus on your outside. I was listening to what's coming out of your mouth. And I said, I thank you for delivering. And he said, he hugged me and he said, I appreciate you. He said, many times people put it in the written evaluation about not having me back because of that. But he said, I love you because you respect me enough in person to say to me. And,
exactly.
And, you know, we start communicating. And we have a great night. He is very content. Well, I only have 13 minutes remaining. I think this was worth my time to be in conversation with you. I hope that you have found some value. I want to give you a few minutes to just summarize, and please give out your contact information as well.
Great. Thank you. Well, I have had a great time, and I'm so honored to be here talking to you and your guests and everybody else that's listening. So I would just say, you know, to summarize, whether we're talking events or we're talking fundraising or we're really just talking about life, stay authentic, be who you are. Whether you're planning an event, try to be authentic to what that event is. Who's it honoring? It's not about impressing everyone else. It's about being able to stand in that moment when the event happens and enjoying yourself because your guests are going to cue off of you. So if you can do that, and it really doesn't matter whether that's an event, whether it is your presentation or your project at work, whether you are executing anything for whatever your business is, if you can kind of stay present and enjoy yourself, everyone in the room is going to enjoy that too. They feel your energy.
That
I would say is my overall best advice.
Isn't that the truth? Because guess what? We cannot suppress the truth. It comes out, you know?
I agree.
Because sometimes people start with a lie, but before you know it, the lid is off and the truth is out. Oh, my God. If that was all that you have said on this show, it would have been worth listening to. But this was powerful. So please let me know how they can reach out to you.
I would say the best place to reach me, you can reach me through my website, which is www.greaterthanwe.com. And I'd love to hear from you, hear what you thought about this interview. You can jump on my list where I have a weekly wrap-up. I give out free event tips, and they're done via video nowadays, thanks to this challenge. And if you have a nonprofit that you're involved with that you want to get spotlighted and put into my newsletter that I not only put out on social media but then goes out to my list, I am happy to include that. Just when you go onto my site, email me, and I'll get back in touch with you. You're going to need to re-say that. I'm sorry. Skype is doing it again.
Stupid Skype. Mm-hmm. Would you please repeat slower your website for the people who are downloading it?
Absolutely. I'm sorry. It's www.greaterthanwe. So that's GREATERTHANWE.com.
All right. So, with that being said, if you have nothing else you want to share, I always want to make sure, did you have anything else on your mind that you wanted to share?
Not at all. Just feel the love, and thank you for that we've got to raise each other up.
Okay. thank you so much. It was amazing time spent here. I look forward to, you know, working with you and getting to learn more about what it is that you do, and continue touching lives, continue making a difference, and continue freeing up people to enjoy their parties instead of working at their parties.
Exactly.
So
thank you
again, and it was an honor to have you here. And I want to just take this opportunity to once again ask you or invite you to check my website out, DaphneClarkHudson.com, and it is Clark with an E. I encourage you to join me on LinkedIn, Daphne Clark Hudson on Twitter, and Dynamic Daphne. And if you just Google me, you see all the places that you can connect with me again. I want you to visit the website, gofundme.com/1, lowercase g, numeral 4, lowercase m, and the numerals 3 and 8. And I ask that you be kind enough to share that with your supporters and help us to get a hot breakfast in the stomach of those children. And for the cruise on June the 14th through the 22nd on the Norwegian Epic, please call Tot Olinda Begg at 203-538-0094 or 203-218-3174, and she will give you all the details about the cruise. Port of call is Barcelona, Spain, and she will explain to you how you can take advantage of that. I think the date for the initial down payment of $250 to secure your cabin at the discount rate is coming up soon in February. So give her a call and she will give you all the details about when the payments are due. I think the final payment is maybe May or something, I think. So give her a call again. Her numbers are 203-539-0094 or 203-818-3174. And I want to remind you to join us next Wednesday when we will have a financial expert on. We are going to be spending the entire double episode speaking about investing with insight and knowledge. I have an ex-Panama who's going to be my honored guest. Sydney is going to be on. Sydney Maidone is going to be on, and we are going to make sure we get you all the information that is needed so we can start to invest and invest in the right things at the right time and the right money. Again, I want to thank both Susie and Susanna so eloquently invested in my listeners this morning. I ask that you download this segment, share it with other people. It can be downloaded from iTunes, but spread the word, because this conversation is what is needed for each and every one of us, regardless of the space that we are operating in as entrepreneurs. So again, I look forward to seeing you again on Sunday evening, 7 p.m. and next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Remember that you are called for a reason. You have a purpose, and we want you to follow through so you can begin to manifest your destiny. This is Dynamic Daphne saying so long, stay blessed, stay warm, and have a very good rest of our week.
What's the plan that you have for me? The place you've called me to be. Some people call it destiny. Will you let me know? What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. Trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
Tonight. happens again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.